Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, a random start for you here on this Monday morning. And then we've got the phone lines open for you. If you've got something you want to start with here, if you've got a random start for us as well, or something that you've been really wanting to talk about here, give us a call and be heard all across Montana. This is Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. So there was this NBC Montana story that caught my eye earlier this morning, you know, especially after a, you know, kind of a four-day weekend for me. Big thanks to John Jackson for filling in on the show Friday, but kind of a four-day weekend, so I had a lot of news to catch up on. I mean, I was reading the news a little bit over the past few days, but last night and then earlier this morning, I really wanted to try to cover as much ground as possible, and this NBC Montana story caught my eye. A 19-year-old teenager who was convicted of plotting a mass shooting at an Indiana high school earlier this year has been sentenced. Trinity Shockley was sentenced to 20 years in prison with 8 years suspended after pleading guilty, basically to wanting to commit this mass shooting in Indiana. And then, of course, they include a photograph along with the person who was plotting this mass shooting. And something about me thought, okay, all right, here we go again. So I read the NBC Montana story. She, her, they, them. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to just search the name Trinity Shockley here, see what else comes up in the news. And I pull up a CNN story. Well, according to CNN, Shockley is charged under the name Trinity, but is transgender. And so I posted it. By the way, are any of you surprised or shocked that Shockley, the mass shooter, you know, potential mass shooter, is transgender? Of course you're not shocked, because we've seen so many of these cases here, especially recently, where so many of these mass shooters or those who had this, you know, attempted to be mass shooters. I mean, even the Charlie Kirk assassin was caught up in this trans ideology. And so I simply shared a court on this article. According to CNN, Shockley is charged under the name Trinity, but is transgender. And that's when one of the liberal commenters on the NBC Montana page with the transgender flag, you know, the rainbow flag with the black line through it, then commented on this, saying, hey, where did you get that quote? It's not in the article. It's like, yeah, it's in a CNN story. It was not mentioned in the NBC Montana story. But then somebody else says, what does gender identity have to do with anything? And I said this, maybe these kids need help. Maybe these kids need help, given the fact that you've got so many of these trans ideology-based shooters here recently. See, that's the thing. They pretend to care about these kids, but they actually don't want to help them. They don't want to help them at all.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. One thing I want to weigh in on here, President Trump sharing a post on Truth Social by Butte, Montana's own Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who killed terror mastermind Osama bin Laden. This after a former Afghan soldier shot and killed a young woman from the West Virginia National Guard on the streets of Washington, D.C. And I know John Jackson did a great job of covering that tragic story on Friday morning, the day after Thanksgiving, here live on this show. But, yeah, let's jump into your phone calls, though. 406-294-0970. Frank in Evergreen with another random start for us here. Frank, what's on your mind? Frank, go ahead. Sorry about the delay there. That was on my end.
Hi. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. What's going on, Frank? What's on your mind?
Oh, I was looking on the study science reports about global warming in Africa and places South America, too, where the forests and the rainforests, the jungles are getting too topped off with all the large trees, so there's less of a canopy. And so now it's more heat in these areas, and which, in fact, it's not putting off oxygen. It's not absorbing the carbon dioxide. It's just the opposite. And so and we see that here in Montana, too, where they, like down in Condon and Sealy Lake, they have these huge cedars. And a lot of people over-harvest their cedars once they buy their properties. And so the canopy disappears. And then, you know, it's just the heat moves in. And then the beetles come in for a beetle kill. And we should be re-examining forestry and more or less... instead of doing clear cuts, we should just be taking out the smaller trees that are interfering with the growth of the larger trees that create the canopy.
Well, yeah. Well, and frankly, the clear cuts just don't happen anymore. I mean, that's basically a relic of the past where they go in and do these massive clear cuts, which is really what I think prompted a lot of folks to then kind of go overboard in opposing logging with the policies that are on the books. And so, yeah, maybe in the past we went too far in one direction, but now we've gone too far in the other direction to where now they'll hardly let us get in there and clean out these forests. I mean, that's exactly why former Representative Steve Gunderson out of Libby has a guest opinion column that's out today. It caught my eye in the Billings Gazette where he is calling for support for the Fix Our Forests Act, which is legislation that was introduced by Senator Tim Sheehy. Of course, Montana's a new Senator Tim Sheehy, and it's backed by Chairman Bruce Westerman out of Arkansas. You know, and he's basically highlighting, you know, the abuse of the Endangered Species Act that's been used by these federal judges to shut down forest health projects and to shut down timber projects, the abuse of NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. And then, of course, many of our listeners are familiar with the Equal Access to Justice Act, where you've had basically these radical environmental groups abuse the court system, file lawsuits, and then liberal judges will not just reward them with a legal victory, but will then hand them a pile of taxpayer cash to then fund their next lawsuit to go after the next timber project. And we've seen the devastating impact on our federal lands all across the West in particular here. And so anyway, what Representative Gunderson is highlighting here is Sheehy's new bill, the Fix Our Forests Act, and what it would actually do to support fire prevention and to stop these fires from getting bigger and faster spreading. And frankly, let's just look at what we've seen take place here in Montana. Montana, under Governor Greg Gianforte, it took a different strategy than his Democrat predecessors. Governor Gianforte, on day one, first off, supported more logging on state lands, and then simultaneously also ushered in a more aggressive response to immediate suppression of these fires when they break out, so they don't break out to be bigger, badder fires than they otherwise would have been. And now I think we're going to start to see more of that on the federal level. We're already seeing more of that on the federal level now under the Trump administration as well. So, yeah, check out that guest opinion column from Representative Steve Gunderson. I think it's at the Billings Gazette website here today. All right, Frank, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. 406-294-0970 is the number. Speaking of President Trump shared a post on Truth Social by Butte's Rob O'Neill. If you guys missed it, Rob O'Neill was really highlighting the cultural challenges, the cultural problems and differences between Afghanistan and the United States. And, well, let me just read it for you here, and then we'll get your reactions here. He says this, This is Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL from Butte, who killed Osama bin Laden. He says, if you've never been to Afghanistan, you wouldn't understand. If you showed these people a Nespresso machine and gave them free coffee, they would assume you were a witch and chop your head off. But let's bring them in. Let's bring them in. That's what Rob O'Neill had to say. And it reminds me of a female veteran that I interviewed here in Montana several years ago who told us a story about her and some of the local interpreters that she had served with at the time. I'll tell you about that. We'll take your phone calls and more right after this. 406-294-0970.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, as a fellow veteran of the war in Afghanistan myself, I was listening in on Friday morning as our friend John Jackson was hosting the show. And again, big thanks to John for covering down on the program, providing a live show for us the day after Thanksgiving. But of course, he had to fill in the morning that the heartbreaking news, the morning, after the heartbreaking news had come out about the death in the killing of West Virginia National Guardsman Sarah Beckstrom, who was gunned down in the streets of our nation's capital by a guy who was allowed into this country from Afghanistan. And so I think most of us absolutely cringed when we saw the plane loads of unvetted refugees being flown into the United States following Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Even the Afghans who worked with the U.S. government in Afghanistan needed additional vetting before being simply brought into the United States. We said that years ago on the radio. In fact, I'm sure there were times when John and I were both here, BSing back and forth about that very same topic. So I posted this on X Friday morning while listening to John talk about, the killing of Sarah Beckstrom and also the shooting of another National Guardsman from West Virginia, Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, who is still fighting for his life as well here. And I said this because the reports are that basically this Afghan man had trained in a CIA overseen unit in Afghanistan. And by the way, Joe Kent is a, special missions unit veteran, Green Beret veteran, who is now the head of the NCTC, the National Counterterrorism Center. And he made a really good point. He says, vetting a foreigner in a war zone to determine if he will fight a common enemy is vastly different than vetting a foreigner to see if he is suitable to live in our country. Yet under Biden, tens of thousands of Afghans were brought to America using the war zone vetting standard. And Joe Kent was spot on there, because we even said this back then, immediately following the disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan, because not only was Joe Biden basically allowing anybody into this country from Afghanistan, he was allowing anybody into this country from anywhere. Yemen, Russia, Syria, China, 50,000 Chinese nationals came into this country over a two-year period alone. But, no doubt we needed to get Americans out of Afghanistan, but you remember there were Americans that were left trapped behind enemy lines. Well, Joe Biden was just throwing anybody and everybody and a whole bunch of military-aged males onto airplanes to bring them to the United States of America. And then they were roaming around our military bases. And then they were let out onto the streets. And of course, we needed to get our friends out, but even the people we worked with overseas needed to have extensive vetting before being brought here to the United States of America. And so this is what I posted on X Friday morning while listening to John. I said, this is exactly why guys like us who served in Afghanistan talked about how wrong it was to bring in all of these unvetted so-called refugees. Even those who worked for the U.S. government needed additional vetting. We said that years ago on the radio. Now, Rob O'Neill, I shared his post on X earlier. If you've never been to Afghanistan, you wouldn't understand. If you showed these people an espresso machine and gave them free coffee, they would assume you were a witch and chop your head off. But let's bring them in. Now, obviously, he's not talking about every person in Afghanistan. And obviously, there were some really good people that we worked with. And but again, many of those people, you know, made it through an extensive vetting process and then still had to wait years to actually get a visa to actually come to America. Joe Biden just opened up the floodgates. That's exactly why now Trump is saying we have got to go look at every single person that was allowed in this country under the Biden years and get them back out of this country. But what Rob was referring to there, and it was shared by President Trump, was just the immense cultural differences between Afghanistan and the United States of America. It, let me give you another Montana example here. Now, if you think, okay, you know, Rob's example a little over the top, but we get the point. Okay, well, I remember, and I won't use her name on the radio right now because I've interviewed her before, so we've shared her story before, but she may not, you know, want her name mentioned in reference to this whole back and forth. But I think that this story highlights the cultural differences, not just between any random Afghan thrown on an airplane and brought into the United States of America, but even some of the interpreters that served with our troops over there. This makes the point of why you still have to have significant vetting that is done. But I'll actually give you two Montana women as examples. And then we'll get right into your phone calls. I see we got Mike in Big Timber on the phone lines here. So first example would be this. This was probably 12, 13 years ago. I was interviewing a female veteran, and she was telling this story about, you know, what it was like being a woman in Afghanistan. And for those who don't know, volleyball, the Afghans loved volleyball. The interpreters especially loved playing volleyball. Well, she liked playing volleyball too. They're on this remote combat outpost. There's a game of volleyball going. So she goes to play volleyball, and she could tell a lot of the interpreters were getting nervous. They were kind of, they were looking left and right. They were shying away. They were, well, finally, one of the interpreters comes to her and says, here's the thing. He didn't want to have to tell this news. He said, here's the thing. These guys were taught, they were raised to believe that women only have one lung and half a heart. So they worry that if you play the volleyball game, that you will not survive the game because your body can't handle it. This gives you just like a little taste of the cultural differences. And then you wonder why when an 18-year-old from, or 19-year-old at the time from Afghanistan is flown into Missoula, Montana, and then within 2 weeks is a rape suspect in downtown Missoula, Montana already. But anyway, back to this young, you know, this female veteran. Yeah, they told her that they didn't want her playing the volleyball game with them because, you know, women only had one lung and half a heart, and they were worried that she wouldn't survive the game. Well, she did eventually end up playing in that volleyball game, and she kicked their butts, by the way. She played high school volleyball, so she was more than prepared to kick their Afghan butts. And again, I share that story to go into the cultural difference and also why those of us who at the time were saying, whoa, wait a minute, not only should you not be bringing plane loads of these Afghans into the United States of America, but even those who worked with U.S. troops need to undergo additional vetting before being allowed into the United States of America. And of course, we were mocked, we were attacked, and we were right. I'll get to that other Montana story here in a second, but first, let's go to Mike in Big Timber. Mike, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
My thought, and thank you for taking my call. My thought is your guest host, John Jackson, had to say, and the caller he had, I believe, I forgot her name, probably from Carolina, who mentioned the fact that this guy drove all the way from Washington, D.C., from Washington State, clear across the country. He had to be funded, and that's what John was pointing out. And they, and I think the caller, I forgot the woman's name, but she
probably Apple Patriot Girl, I think is.
Yes.
Yeah, one of our friends on X. Yeah, yep.
Right, and she pointed out people are being funded by people like Soros and others. And that's the whole thing. You have to worry about who, you know, where the money is coming from. That's the most important thing.
Well, he was living,
as far as I'm concerned,
he was living with a couple for a little while in Washington State, and because now they believe that he was radicalized in Washington State, not radicalized in Afghanistan. They believe he was radicalized in Washington State. Well, have you seen all the anti-American nonsense coming out of Washington State, particularly the Seattle area, not the rest of the state, but mostly the Seattle area? I mean, it's probably not too hard to believe that somebody could be radicalized with so much anti-American hatred in an area like Seattle that they would want to go shoot up an innocent National Guards member. It's just crazy.
All the way across the all the way across the country, Aaron, driving that far. I mean, there's something you could have probably done throughout, through in Washington State or in the Seattle area to make your point. But to drive all this had to be something planned, something funded. He had to have some sort of input to do this, to drive all the way across the country.
Apparently, so Laura Ingraham pointed this out. Apparently, there was a New York Post story that said that this guy, Rachmanullah Lakenwal, was basically often seen just playing video games. He hadn't worked since August. He spoke little English. So, again, to your point, who's funding the guy? I wonder how much of our taxpayer dollars was funding the guy to just sit around while his, you know, like, wife and five kids? So, like, the guy didn't have a job. He had a wife and five kids, but he could just sit around and play video games all day and then drive across the country and launch this assassination against our guardsmen and women?
Right. And who knows how many more of these type of folks will be looked at to do the exact same thing. I think there's more coming, to tell you the truth, Aaron. That's my opinion.
Well, Sarah Adams, a former CIA analyst, if I'm not mistaken, who's been on the Sean Ryan show. I mean, she's basically telling Americans to get prepared because of, you look at all the threats that were allowed into this country. With the open borders, with the abuse of the refugee and the asylee program, you name it. All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA has announced it has launched the new Unified New World Screwworm website, providing comprehensive data for the public and stakeholders on the New World Screwworm prevention and detection efforts. USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs, Dudley Hoskins.
We had previously had a resource up on the APHIS website, so this isn't a totally new remake, but what it does is provide stakeholders, producers, state partners access to a one-stop portal where you can see not only the USDA APHIS activities and the work our partners at ARS are doing, but in addition to that, our interagency partners, which have been so critical in this effort to date.
The new website is screwworm.gov. As for the final USDA winter wheat crop condition report of the year, USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Overall, 48% of the U.S. winter wheat rated good to excellent in the final report of the season on November 23rd, up 3 points from last week. 17% very poor to poor, and we do see just 3 states out of the 18 reporting states for winter wheat driving that number very poor to poor higher. Those three, Texas, 37% very poor to poor, Oklahoma at 24%, and then Montana in the north, 29% very poor to poor. That is all drought-driven, with the drought focused across the northern and the southern plains, but both areas have received or will receive soon significant precipitation.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the other Montana story that I wanted to mention, and by the way, if she's listening in right now, hey, feel free to call in, or you can call in as well, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app. But, we were saying this at the time. Remember when they were talking about, shipping in a bunch of so-called refugees into Missoula? into Billings. And then, of course, we exposed what was going on at this Valley Neighbors outfit, where they, this is the one in the Flathead, where they openly admit on their website that they will traffic illegal aliens in the Flathead Valley. Look, we said this years ago when we were talking about this, is not only should they not be, should we be stopping, you know, plane loads of unvetted so-called refugees or so-called asylees from flooding into this country, but we need stronger vetting even when it comes to people that were working with the U.S. government in places like Afghanistan. Look, if... And case in point, so Stacey Zinn, you guys know Stacey Zinn. She's the current vice chair of the Montana Republican Party. At the time, she was the head of the DEA here in Montana. And so I had the opportunity to interview her on the show a few times, talking about the threat of the Mexican drug cartels, talking about Trende Aragua, the violent Venezuelan prison gang that was allowed to flood into this country. And I remember talking with her one time, because we also brought up this storyline, you know, with all the so-called refugees that they were trying to bring into this country. And then even when it came to, you know, bringing in former interpreters and things like that, I said, look, you have to be careful with anybody you're going to bring into this country. Just because somebody was an interpreter doesn't mean that they should be allowed in the United States of America. First off, there's other countries they can go to. Second off, it still doesn't mean they could still be a threat, even though they had a background in working as an interpreter for U.S. forces. And the story that she shared with us on air, and I was familiar with this story, so that's why I was able to say, hey, I don't know if you can talk about this or not. She shared the story. There were several interpreters that were working on her, you know, FOB or combat outpost when she was overseas working for the DEA. And these interpreters, some of them, were plotting to have her killed. They were plotting and working with the enemy to get her killed in an ambush. And thankfully, Signals Intelligence, SIGINT, was able to disrupt that attack and prevent it from happening. And she's still with us and alive today as a result. And I shared that story to say, just because somebody claimed that they worked with U.S. forces or even did work with U.S. forces doesn't mean that they get a free ticket into the United States of America. And there were people that were criticizing us for saying things just like that. One thing, too, I don't even know if I've really mentioned this on the show here, if I've even mentioned this on the radio show or ever really even talked about this. But so... We had a former interpreter from Afghanistan. First off, several of our interpreters already made it, you know, out of Afghanistan. One of our really good interpreters, just the nicest young man, he actually escaped Afghanistan. He got out of Afghanistan, but he went home to visit his family in Kabul one year, and then he got killed when he was home visiting his family in Kabul. And so... there's a tragic case of a friend who got out and then went home to visit family and they got him. But there was another interpreter and, you know, seemed like a nice enough guy. He was fired from two different forward operating bases. He was fired from the combat outpost that I was on. He was fired from the higher headquarters forward operating base. And so... And this guy wanted to come to the United States of America. I don't know if he was in Pakistan or where he was at the time. Wanted to come to the United States of America. Well, and so I start getting these messages. And well, first off, my initial response is, okay, I need to be able to verify somebody's identity to begin with. If somebody's just reaching out claiming to be an interpreter who worked with the United States, well... this person could be under threat right now. So if I verify that that person worked with us, I could be responsible for them getting killed. So you have to verify it. Well, then eventually you verify who this person is, et cetera. Well, anyway, bottom line is this guy starts sending me these harassing messages and basically starts posting on X and on Facebook, basically death to America type stuff. because we don't get him to be able to come to the United States of America. And it's like, dude, you were fired from two different forward operating bases. I didn't go to Afghanistan to bring Afghanistan to the United States of America. We went there to protect the United States of America, not to bring the problems to the United States of America. But that's the tragedy of what occurred over the last, you know, 4 years preceding this current administration. That's exactly what they did. That's why it was such a betrayal on so many different fronts. And that's why President Trump is doing everything he can right now. He's already secured the borders, but now we got to secure the country internally because of so many threats that have been allowed inside. Here is President Trump speaking on Air Force One, I think, over the weekend.
What do you mean by reverse migration?
It means get people out that are in our country. Get them out of here. I want to get them out. We got a lot of people in our country that shouldn't be here, and they came in through Biden, and he was the worst president in the history of our country. But the single biggest thing he did was allow millions, the worst, allow millions of people into our country that shouldn't be here. Drug dealers, prisons were opened up and allowed to come into our country. You take a look at the people that were allowed to come into our country. We're paying a big price for it, and we will for years to come, including the recent killer of two wonderful National Guards people. And I'll tell you what, that animal should not have been allowed to come into our country.
All right, now those remarks are might be slightly dated there from President Trump. Let me pull up the original post on X here, but here is some more remarks from President Trump talking about Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf. This comes from Rapid Response 47 on X.
Have you spoken with Andrew Wolf's family? Can you give us an update on
this? I have spoken to both families. Well, I mean, I can give you an update. They're devastated. Does that make sense to you? They're devastated.
Can you give us an update on Andrew Wolf?
Well, as you know, the one is no longer with us. And Andrew is fighting for his life. And his parents are unbelievably great people, highly religious people. And they're praying, and they want everybody to pray for Andrew. And he has a chance to make it. But he is, his mother and father, they were so unbelievable. They were so positive. From West Virginia, great state. I spoke with Sarah's parents, too. And the only thing I can say, they were devastated.
Do you plan
they
to
can't even believe it. It happened.
All right, now you've got Democrats like Debbie Wasserman Schultz blaming President Trump for this attack by this Afghan terrorist on our National Guardsmen.
I mean, the fact that the president's come out and says he's going to review every green card holder from 19 countries of concern, you know, that he has stopped certain immigrants from countries already, that again makes sweeping generalizations about countries that shouldn't have every individual assumed to be dangerous to admit to the United States.
Oh, you mean countries like Somalia, where they've committed billions of dollars in fraud, where you had, 71 folks of East African descent already now being prosecuted in Minnesota by the feds, not by the state, for defrauding the federal government, and then in many cases sending that money straight back to fund terrorists like Al-Shabaab overseas. Debbie Wasserman Schultz continued with this on CNN.
We need to make sure that we don't have our military deployed in our cities where handling law enforcement responsibilities, and we need to make sure that we address gun violence. We certainly need to make sure we always have the proper and appropriate and tight vetting processes, and those should be reviewed. But it's never the president's fault or his policies when it comes to his reaction, and it's pretty disgusting.
Unbelievable. Very disgusting that she is blaming the president who is helping to defend these American cities from the lawlessness that's occurred. and she's blaming him for a terrorist assassin. All right, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. If you got something you want to talk about, back right after this quick break, right here on Montana Talks. Several other topics to get to here this morning as well. We had a phone call earlier from Frank in Evergreen talk about, forest health policies, firefighting. Did you hear about Gavin Newsom in California, the latest out of there? Anyway, lots to talk about back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open right now. If you call in right now, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time. 406-294-0970. This one, I think I need to get to this one next here. I was sharing some Montana-specific stories about why even those who worked with our U.S. government in places like Afghanistan need to undergo significant vetting before they're brought here to the United States. As Joe Kent, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, pointed out, vetting somebody to work as part of a partner force in a foreign country is a totally different ballgame than vetting somebody to come to this country, to come live in this country. But let's take it from a former Afghan interpreter himself. This guy's name, I'm not familiar with him, but this clip from CNN caught my eye. This is Ahmad Shah Mohibi. Here he is on CNN basically making the same point that we've been making here as well.
That's through the same process. But, here's the thing. A U.S. commanding general recommended me. I had 45 letters of recommendation. I went through a clearance process, even though everybody knew me, but I had to wait 3 years to get my visa.
Yeah.
While we have an open border, we have guys like them, put them on a plane, bring them to the U.S. What do you expect? This has to be, and it has been always, a bipartisan problem. It's not a Democratic problem, Republican problem. You look, Bush started the war. President Obama, he surged it. President Trump made a deal with the Taliban. President Biden, he just exited in a most shameful, chaotic.
So basically, look, he talked about some of the vetting he had to go through. 45 letters of recommendation, a U.S. general recommending him, passing a full clearance, still had to wait 3 years to get his visa. And Joe Biden just came in and opened up the floodgates. The floodgates. Let's see. Oh, man, where do we go next here? One more here. This is Jim Hansen. Jim Hansen is a special operations veteran, Green Beret veteran. You might remember him as Uncle Jimbo from the Black Five blog. But he's now the head of the Middle East Forum. Here he is weighing in on this whole vetting question here as well.
I think there is a good feeling about wanting to help people who helped us, but that doesn't make it a good idea, especially if we're in a situation where we can't validate their ability to live in a fully westernized society. And I think the Trump administration is bringing back an idea they called in the first term extreme vetting, where you go much deeper into people's belief systems, much deeper into their backgrounds, much deeper into where they've lived. It's not based on their race or anything else. There's no discrimination in it. It's based on the idea that some cultures are different than other cultures, and the people living there may not be suitable to come here and become Americans.
Back when Jen Psaki was the spokeswoman for the Biden administration, our Peter Ducey asked her about some of these people slipping through the cracks. Here's that exchange.
Is there any concern that maybe trying to reach this deadline and get everybody out
mistakes are being made now that there is a report that at least one of the Afghans evacuated to Qatar has suspected ISIS ties?
Well, first, I would say we have a stringent vetting process, which includes background checks before any individual comes to the United States. So I can't speak to one individual, but I can tell you and confirm for you that we take the vetting of any individual who comes to the United States and comes out incredibly seriously.
By the way, Department of Homeland Security, DHS, shared over the weekend just a few of the criminals who were said to be fully vetted by the Biden administration. One of them, Zabihullah Mohmand, an Afghan national who was resettled in Montana by the Biden administration, was charged with the rape of a teenage girl in a Missoula motel room. DHS just shared that a couple of days ago on X, saying Americans do not have to suffer violence from people who should not be here at all. We will send them back. By the way, I followed up on that case. Some of you might be wondering, whatever happened with the Afghan rape suspect in Missoula? What, 4 years ago, I think that was now. So I just followed up here with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to see, hey, what's his status? Is he still in custody somewhere? Was he sent to another country? Because the last I had heard is that he was in custody pending removal proceedings with the Justice Department's Executive Office for Immigration Review. But that was a while back. In fact, I checked in with the regional spokeswoman for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and she is checking on the status of his case for me right now. She says she remembers this case right off the top of her head. She remembers this case. He was 19 at the time and was in the country a whopping 2 weeks before he was charged with a felony. All right, there you go. So maybe we'll have an update on that for you on Tuesday's Montana Talks. I know we got so many great veterans listening to the show all across Montana. Veterans like Lee Ettinger in Big Fork. Lee is the guy who actually started Power Plus Pain Aid. This is an energy drink that also delivers pain relieving natural vitamins, and he's got it rolled into one tiny little shot. Power Plus Pain Aid. If you go to drinkpowerplus.com, you can get 15% off your Power Plus Pain Aid. Just use the code Flint15, Flint15 at drinkpowerplus.com, and yeah, get 15% off your Power Plus Pain Aid. When those